All right. Well, like I said, we're starting a new series today on reducing worry in our lives. I asked you a question a minute ago. Do you know anybody that worries? How many of y'all, if I asked it this way, do you worry? Yeah. Am I hitting everybody? I mean, do you have things in your life that you worry about? And here's the great news is that this isn't a new phenomenon. Believe it or not, 2,000 years ago, people were worrying. And we know this because Jesus specifically talks about worry in the life of a follower. So here we are 2,000 years later after Jesus died for us, was resurrected. We go through all church history and we're still battling this idea of worry. All of us do it. Some of us are a little bit better than others. You know, you got the ones on the extreme that are kind of laid back and they don't look like they care about anything. I'll give you a little secret. We really do care about things. We just don't want to act like it. We think if we forget it, if we kind of just pretend like it. But you know those people in your life that just don't seem to worry. In fact, if you're one of those people here today, you know, this probably isn't for you because you've already kind of got your way of handling worry. But I will ask you to dig a little bit deeper and to say, why do you ignore things? Why don't you take care of things? And then you have the other extreme, right? The other extreme is those people that worry about everything. Do you know some of those people? You don't let them watch TV because something will come on the news and all of a sudden they'll start worrying about that. You know, any problem you tell them, there's going to be worry. So you have those two extremes of people that really don't seem like they worry about everything and people that really don't care that you know that they are worried. And the rest of us, we kind of fall in the middle. We fall in the middle of going, you know, I'm not one of those extremes, but I do worry a lot. And the question is, why do we worry? We know that, and you could pretty much ask anybody, you know, does worry change anything? We all mentally know that we're not. In fact, I wrote down three things to tell me, to make sure my mind is on it, right? I put, does worrying add a single hour to your life? Does worrying add? I mean, that's actually a Jesus question, right? We'll see it today. Does the act of worrying, basically this is what it's saying, does the act of worrying help you? Does it help you? Does it add to your life? And we'll all sit there and go, no, I know mentally that worrying doesn't add 1 minute to my life, 1 hour, 1 day. In fact, the second question, does worrying possibly bring about health issues that could actually steal from your life? Have you heard this? You know, that as we worry and that anxiety and that holding it in, it actually hurts us health-wise. It actually could take days, weeks, years off your life. Worrying. In fact, we could even say this. How many of you worry so much that it not only affects your life, but it takes years off your spouse's life or your kid's life, right? That we understand that this intense worrying that we go about isn't healthy for us, isn't healthy for the people around us. It doesn't help any. And then the third thing, if we've been talking about life, it doesn't add to your life or it doesn't take away from your life. I think this is a very pertinent question. Maybe what you're worrying about in your mind is more important than life. You know, and there are things that we deal with that we kind of say, hey, that's even more important than my own personal life when we're dealing with our kids' lives or things like that. But I'll ask you this, does worrying make that any better? If there is something that is more important than your life that you're worrying about, does worry add to that? Does it fix that? Does it make that better? And I believe we'll all come up with the same answer is no. So if worry doesn't help us, in fact, worrying hurts us, and worrying doesn't help anything in our life, why do we worry? You know, why did Jesus talk about it 2,000 years ago? Why today did I say, go find some people and tell them we're talking about worrying in the church? And no one, you know, seemed to go, well, I don't know anybody like that. Why is worry such a big thing if we know that it doesn't do it? So I guess the question is, we're talking about worry. We know it's not good. So what do we do about it? And of course, you know, I'll put out there that the best thing to do, seeing how Jesus talked about it 2,000 years ago, is let's dive in to what Jesus said about worry and see if we can apply that to our lives and our issues. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to be chapter 6 of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to see this great passage that I don't know about in your Bible. In my Bible, it's just highlighted and it says, do not worry. Do not worry. So we're going to see, how could Jesus make such a claim? Don't worry. How does he talk about what we should do with our worry? And then how can we apply that in our lives? So let's start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Now, if your Bible is like mine, the actual passage that the people that kind of put the Bible together in written form and publish it, they drop down to 25 to start that passage. But listen to 24. Jesus says this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And then look at the very first part of verse 25. Therefore, now that's why I went back to 24. If we just started with verse 25, we have no idea what the therefore is there for. So we started with 24. He said, some people are more devoted to their money, more devoted to what money can buy than they are to God. He said, there's an issue around that. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry. So this is interesting. What Jesus is putting forth as a foundational thought on not worrying is to look at what your devotion goes towards. What does your devotion go towards? We could probably say something like this. The level of my devotion to something, what am I devoted to, tracks with, goes along with the level of my worry about that thing. The more I devoted about something, the more I worry about it. So I kind of brought just a little visual thing here just so that we have something we can look at. And I'm going to say that this is something we're devoted to. I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it's your job. Yeah, we're all kind of devoted to this idea we need to make money. We need to be able to have a paycheck coming in. Maybe it's your job. Maybe that's something that you're devoted to. Maybe it's your kids. You know, that's a pretty important thing. You know, maybe it's your kids, so maybe this represents in your life. What are you worried about? Are you worried about your job? Are you worried about your kids? Maybe it's retirement. Retirement. You know, maybe you're heading towards retirement. Maybe you're in the middle of retirement. Did I make the right choices? Do I have enough finances to finish out? You know, maybe that thing that you're really devoted to worrying about, you know, that this is really important to me, that I have enough funds in the bank to get through retirement. Maybe it's your health. That's pretty important, right? That's something I think we're all devoted to, right? You know, I've got a real devotion to me being healthy, because the opposite of me being healthy is maybe me not being around any longer. Maybe it's just your money to live on. Maybe it's kind of your bills are bigger than what you're bringing in, and every month you're worrying about, am I going to have enough money to make it to the end of the month? You know, that's so I'm really devoted to this idea of making sure I've got enough money coming in. Maybe it's where you're going to live. We're having that in our house right now. Sydney graduated from college this last fall, and she's decided to stay in Texas State area and go into apartment managing. But in that, because the apartment that hired her to be an apartment manager, associate manager, she was living at that apartment, and they had a rule that you can't live at the apartment that you're managing because, you know, there's too much issues go on with college students trying to get to you in the middle of the night. And so she lost her apartment. And so she's been kind of really stressed out about going, where am I going to live? Where am I going to live? You know, that's something that we get devoted to. Now I want you to hear this idea of devotion. In all those things I just said, I started them with the word your, right? Your job, your retirement, your kids, your health, your house, your money. Do you see? It's that word that really brings worry into our life. You know, is housing important? Housing is important. Is money important? Money's important. Is health important? But when you put the word your in front of it, that's when that worry starts coming up. I can show you that really, really easy. Just replace anybody's name in here with your name with that, right? You know, I love you guys. I really do. But I don't stay up worrying about your 401k. I don't. I don't. You know, if you came to me and said, Blake, we're having trouble with it, I would be concerned. But my level of worry, I don't sit at home going, man, I am so worried about Roy's kids. Now, when Roy tells me something's going on with his kids, I'm going to be concerned about it. I'm going to pray with him about it. I'm going to check in with him. But I'm not going to stay up really late at night like I do when I'm worried about my kids, right? You know, same thing with health. You know, I'm really concerned about your health. But when it's my health, that's when I get worried. To come back to what Jesus said, he said, there is a connection with your devotion to something and this process of worrying that's taking over your life. So how do we change that? How do we shift our devotion? Because that's what he's talking about with money and God, right? He's going, you know, are you going to focus in on money? Are you going to how do you do that? What is the process of moving through this understanding of how devotion and how worry works, and how do we do it? So what if we were able to shift that? So let's see if Jesus shows us how, okay? Let's see if Jesus shows us how. So here's where we were. We were in verse 25. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Now, theoretically, I could stop the sermon right there, right? Are y'all worrying? Here's what Jesus said. Do not worry. Pass the plate. Let's get out of here. But luckily, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, do not worry. And then he starts working us through how we don't worry. He says, don't worry about your life. Now watch what he does next. He said, don't worry about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. So here's what Jesus does. He's talking to some people in the, you know, his time frame. And I want you to notice what he just did. He just picked the two biggest worries of people of his century. Now for us, you know, we have closets full of clothes, and we have grocery stores full of food when it's not COVID, I guess. But, you know, that we have ample supply in our lives of clothes and food. So sometimes maybe when you read this, you're not realizing that Jesus was getting really personal with the people he was talking to. He was going, let's talk about your two biggest worries. Let's talk about food and let's talk about clothes. Because back then, if you ripped a robe, you couldn't run down to Walmart and get more. You know, if you didn't have the fields come in, you couldn't run down to HEB and get more food. It was two big things that people just said, I'm worried about. If Jesus was here today, he probably would use different examples. You know, he would say something like, you know, let's don't worry about health, or let's don't worry about our kids. You just realize that Jesus is really concerned about what people are worrying about, and he's not picking frivolous things. This isn't Jesus just kind of going, okay, look, stop worrying. Food isn't a big deal. Stop worrying. Wearing clothes. I mean, Adam and Eve did it for a good long while. Clothes are not, you know, he didn't say that. And in the same way, I want you to hear what I'm going to say, because I want to make sure that we get to this before we get into how we're going to deal with it. God wouldn't look at you and go, what you're worrying about is unimportant. What you're worrying about is important. Or you wouldn't be worrying about it. What you're worrying about is extremely personal. Or you wouldn't be worrying about it. And Jesus, when he looked at those people, he wasn't going, I'm just going to pick some frivolous things to tell you how to stop worrying. No, he said, let me pick the most important things that you're dealing with and show you how to process that. So, here we go. The first thing that he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about what your life is, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. I want you to see there that he throws in this one word twice. He throws in the word what. If you mark in your Bibles, you might want to circle what, because that's another key part of understanding how God deals with worry in our life. And that's this, that part of worry circles around uncertainty. I don't know how that's going to end. I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, when we don't have uncertainty in our life, there's going to be plenty of food, plenty of water. I know I've got stuff in the store bins. I've got plenty of stuff. But as soon as you throw the what in there, you know, what are we going to do if that runs out? What are we going to do if this runs? You know, whatever you're thinking about right now that you're worrying about, is there a level of uncertainty that's swirling around that? You see, there's this first, this question, it's something that's personal to you, and then there's something that's uncertain about it. I think this is beautiful that, once again, Jesus didn't step over this. He didn't say, everything is just fine. He said, there is uncertainty. You're asking that question, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? He acknowledged the uncertainty that circles around our worries. And then this is what he said. Here's the first thing that you need to do if you are worrying about things. He said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Now watch this. He said, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? The first thing God says, that if you want to start working on your worry, is this idea of perspective. He named the two most important things to those people at that time. And he didn't say they're not important. He didn't say that, that's not something you should have concern about. What he said is, he said, why don't you look at it again and ask this question, that is life more than food? Is life more than food? Is food the most important thing in our life? I mean, it's up there, right? But is it the most important thing in the world? He said, put it in perspective. He said, what about clothes? Are clothes the most important things in the world? He said, he wasn't saying everybody just take off your clothes and walk around. He was just saying, put it in perspective. Now, this is the hard part for you. What are you worrying about? And whatever that is, can you put that in that sentence and say, is this the most important thing in my life? And I'm going to say 99% of you are going to say, it's really important. It's going to have huge effects, but is it the most important? I'll give you the most important. The most important thing in your life is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, then everything that happens on this world is for nothing. And so if anything, what you are worrying about, is it as important as your relationship with God? Give it some perspective. You know, is the money that you're talking about, is your retirement, is your health the most important thing? You know, it's right on up there, but is your health more important than your relationship with God? So first thing he says, he said, let's take a second and relook at what you got going here and put it in perspective. He said in verse number 26, boy, this could be really insensitive of Jesus, right? He's talking to people about food. He's talking about, you know, that they don't have enough clothes to wear. He's going, you know, put that in perspective. And then he just throws out this line. Now, everybody, look at the birds of the air. And it's easy for us to read that right now. You know, it's easy for us to kind of say, all right, yeah, that makes sense. You know, Jesus is fixing to teach about the birds of the air. But can you imagine if you were standing there with Jesus and you didn't know where your meal was going to come from the next day, you had a food issue, or your kids didn't have clothes to wear the next day. And can you imagine this teacher getting in front of you and going, all right, I know that's important, but let's all just take a second and look at the birds of the air. It sounds insensitive. I'll make it even sound more insensitive. What are you worried about? And Jesus walks into you and he says, what are you worried about? And you said, I'm worried about this important personal thing that has a lot of uncertainty around it. And Jesus looks at you and says, well, whoa, buddy, let's just look at the birds of the air. And you go, but Jesus, I don't have time to look at the birds of the air. I've got to figure out how to take this uncertainty out of this important issue. I've got to figure out how to get my kid back in school. I've got to figure out how to fix my marriage. I've got to figure out how to financially take care of the people in my life. I've got to figure out how I'm going to even have a job tomorrow. God, I don't have time to look at the birds of the air. That's insensitive. Which I think Jesus would probably say, would you just be quiet for a minute and follow through what I'm saying? He said, look at the birds of the air. He said, they do not sow, they do not reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He said, look at the relationship I have with a bird. He said, look at that relationship. I, God, the creator of the universe, have a relationship with every bird you see in the air right now. And he says, they don't sow or reap or store. Is he saying that we don't need to sow or reap or store? Should we just be those people who say, oh, you know what? God's going to take care of everything. No, I think what God's doing here is he's going, let me give you a comparison to a bird that does none of the things that you're capable of doing. That does none of the things that I've given you the ability to do, because I made you in my image, right? You can sow, you can reap, you can store, but just to get the best picture of this, look at the birds who can do none of those things. But look what my relationship with those birds brings about. He said, look at the birds. He said, they can't do any of those things, but it says, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. It's important that a bird eats. And God says, I love that bird so much that even though it can't do any of the things to take care of its own food, I'm going to feed him. And then you got to read the next line, right? He said, are you not much more valuable than they are? He says, you're worrying. And there's a lot of uncertainty flowing around. And he said, I'm not going to take away the issue. And I'm not even going to take away the uncertainty. What I want you to do is I want you to shift your devotion and think about how much I love you. Look at the birds of the air and look what I did for them. It's a powerful thought. Does that mean that food isn't important? No, food is terribly important. Does that mean that we should just ignore whatever's important and not try? No. God says, I've given you the wisdom to try to figure out things in the future, but you shouldn't be driven by that worry. You shouldn't be driven by that worry. In fact, Jesus was so excited about it, he said it again, right? He said, look at the birds of the air. You know, have you ever been in that situation where you just got so much stress and anxiety, you don't even feel like you could lift your head up? Have you ever been in one of those situations before? Where everything is just so heavy on you that you're just kind of like this. I think this is why God did this. Because, you know, when he says, look at the birds of the air, you have to lift your head up and you go, look, God, I've got so many things. You can't believe I've got my health issues. I've got my kids' health issues. I've got my money issues. I've got my family's money issues. My job is in question. You know, there's all these things going on, God. I can't even lift my head. And so what does he say next? He says, so why do you worry about clothes? He said, look down at the flowers of the field. He said, if you're looking down, he said, I'm going to give you another example. He said, there's flowers down there. I mean, this isn't even an intelligent creature like a bird. Let's take it down a level to a plant. And he said, that plant, he said, see how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor. They don't spin. Does that mean we're not supposed to labor or spin? No, once again, it's a comparison. You can labor. You've got issues. You've got clothes issues, you've got whatever issue, but I've given you the ability to labor and to spend, but those flowers, I don't even have given them the ability to do that. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all its splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? He said, if my relationship with a flower is so strong, how much more so is my relationship with you? See, it's a devotion issue, right? Are you devoted to these things, or are you devoted to your relationship with God? If I'm devoted to my relationship with God, this doesn't change, but suddenly how I respond to this changes. There's still important things. There's still lots of uncertainty. But instead of thinking, isn't this what you do when you worry about something? I don't know about you guys, but like when I worry about something, I'm thinking about that 24/7. You know, it's like playing in the back of my mind. I could be watching a movie, but it's still in the back of my mind, just going and going. And what did you hear what that person said about me? What's that going to do? What should I need to do tomorrow to take care of that? Oh, what am I going to do? I know this bill's coming in. I know taxes are due. And even when you try to ignore it, it's playing in the back of your mind. And here's what God says. God said, we're not going to take out the uncertainty, and those things are still going to be there, but what I want you to do, instead of thinking about that, I want you to look up at the birds of the air and say, well, that reminds me of my relationship with God. If he takes care of them, how much more is he going to take care of me? I'm going to look down at the flowers. If he has a relationship with a tulip, how much more is his relationship with you? Let's keep on reading. If we drop down to the next one, it says, he will not much more clothe you. Now watch this line that he says. He said, you of little faith. You of little faith. Isn't that interesting? Jesus connects worry with faith. He said, if you've got a worry issue, you've got a faith issue. How do you beat a worry issue? Strengthen your faith issue. And suddenly that worry starts getting into perspective. He said, oh, you have little faith. He said, I want you to have big faith. I want you to understand how powerful I am, God says. and how much I love you. And then you move from a little faith to a lot of faith. And let's see what he says next. So he said after that, he said, so do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? He said, don't worry about the insecurity of the event, not knowing. He said, don't put your mind on, I don't know what's going to happen. Here's the truth. You never know what's going to happen. That's a lie, right? To think that we're in control of anything. We don't know if we get one more second here on this earth. We don't know if we're going to walk outside and our car won't start. We don't know if we're going to get some bad news on the phone today or some good news on the phone today. But we have this idea of I'm in control, and if suddenly I have all these, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And God says, he said, don't focus on the what I'm going to do's. He said, don't focus there. Listen to what he says. He says, for the pagans run after all these things. He said, people that don't believe in God. That's all they got. But he says, you got something more than the pagans. You got faith in me. You got faith in a creator. You got faith in someone that loves you. He said, don't do what they do. He said, and your heavenly Father knows that you need what you need. God doesn't say that's not important. God isn't saying stop worrying because it's not important. God's saying, stop worrying because I know it's important to you. I know it's important to you. And then 33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. He said, stop staring here and start staring there. And you're going to find out that this starts shrinking and shrinking and shrinking when you start viewing God first and then that, rather than this first and then God. I like what he says to finish it out, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He doesn't say don't worry about today. Isn't that interesting? Don't worry about today. He doesn't say that. Because a lot of times, you know, if you're one of the people like me that go, oh, don't worry about that. Yeah, oh, don't worry, God's got it. God doesn't say, don't worry about today. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, today, do some stuff. Today, you got it. You know, today you can look at that and you can say, I've got an issue that's important to me. There's a lot of uncertainty swirling around it. What can I do today? Can I write a letter? Is it a relationship problem? Maybe can I reach out with a telephone call? Can I go in and talk to my boss? Can I put out a job application? Can I work on my marriage? Can I take my wife on a date? What can I do today? He said, it is great because you can sow and you can reap and you can store and you can spend. I've given you that ability. So in today, do what you can about those issues in your life, but at the end of the day, don't go and look at what am I going to do tomorrow. Trust God with your tomorrow. Trust God. God said, I'll handle tomorrow. He said, I'm going to give you what you need today, and you can work on it. But at the end of the day, going, I don't know if I did enough, and instead, he said, now look at the birds of the air. He said, now shift from focusing on that and shift to focusing on me and my relationship with you. Let me real quick give you five things. On the back of your bulletin, there's a place that says notes. If you want to flip over there real quick and write down, I'm just going to summarize this sermon for you. So, Blake, why don't you do that to start with? Because I like to talk. Okay, so here we go. Summary. Today, five things to do when you start worrying about things. Number one, read the Word. I mean, Jesus just said, hey, this is important 2,000 years ago that I wrote it down. If you do nothing else this week, why don't you make this commitment? Every day, I've got a worry problem. If you got a worry problem, you say, Blake, I just don't know about any of this other stuff. How about you just do this? Commit every day to read these 10 verses and just let God's wisdom come into your mind. If you've got a worried problem, Read the word. You can do a word search on worries. There's other places that Jesus talks about worry in the Bible that God talks about it. But here's, this one's great. If you would just say, hey, for the next 7 days, I'm going to read those 10 verses every day and start letting God's truth come in. So number one is read the word. Number two, these all start with R. That'll make it easier for you. Relook at your problem. Relook at your problem. What are you worried about? Look at it again. And this time when you look at it, accept the truth of what it is. Number one, that it's important, but it's not the most important. Relook at it and say, you know what? I'm not going to say that's not important, but I'm going to be like God, Jesus said, and I'm going to say, is there more important things? And like we said, we know number one is our relationship with God. So we're going to look at it again. We're going to say it's important. Number two, we're going to accept that there's going to be uncertainty. We're going to look at it. We're going to relook, and we're going to say, that is important. And I'm not going to spend all my time going, how do I get rid of this question mark? How do I make this situation certain? I'm just going to accept it. I'm going to relook at it. I'm going to say, you know, this is important, and there is uncertainty, and I'm okay with that. Ooh, that's a hard one, right? I'm okay that there's going to be uncertainty. So number one is read the word. Number two, relook at the problem. Number three, review what you can do today. Review. You say, okay, this is a real problem. There's really uncertainty. Are there things I can do today towards that problem? You might look at it and go, I've done everything I can. There's nothing today I can do. Then good. Pray about it. Just say, hey, today's going to be a praying day. I'm just going to pray and give that to God. But if there is something you can do, you know, don't get into this thing like I do where I just go, I'm going to pretend like there's not a problem there. Ah, there's no problem, right? Do we do that sometimes? We get so worried that we act like there's nothing there. Here's what you need to do is you need to review, what can I do about that? That's real. And there's a lot of uncertainty. And are there things today I can do? And then do them, right? Review what you can do today. Now here's the number four. Remember your relationship with God at that point. Remember your relationship with God. Who is God? And what has He done for you? Who is God? And what has He done for you? So as I'm looking at this, I'm going, that's real. I've done what I can do today. Now I'm going to stop. And I'm now going to go, but I'm going to remember God. I'm going to remember how powerful He is, how big He is, how much He loves me. And I'm going to focus on that instead of focusing on this. I've done what I can do today. And now I'm going to focus on the birds of the air, the flowers of the field. And number five is really easy. Repeat. Repeat. It'll probably be there in the morning, right? That problem will probably be there. There'll probably still be uncertainty, and so tomorrow I'm going to read the word again. I'm going to relook at that problem. I'm going to review what I can do today, and then I'm going to just remember my relationship with God, and I'm going to let Him worry about tomorrow, and then I'm going to repeat. And what's going to happen is instead of worry in my life, I'm going to have faith in my life. And then when I come up here and say, how many of y'all are worried? No hands will go up. How many of y'all are faithful that God can take care of your problems? Every hand goes up, right? That's what Jesus just taught right there. We're going to spend 2 more weeks, because this is a big thing, on talking about worry. But today, this remembering your relationship with God, I love it because today we're going to do the Lord's Supper.